The reading is from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town, who lived a sinful life, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Well, it's good to be teaching the second part of this series that we've titled Apprentice, Putting Discipleship into Practice. And it's really exciting because this is a series that we're doing together with LICC, the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. And last week, Steve Rouse, great friend of this church, kicked off the series. And so it's brilliant to be able to jump in on this second week, and I really hope you're going to get a lot from this series. We're really going to be looking at our church's values during these few weeks, and our values as a church are to be pioneering, to be risk-taking, to show generosity, to show faith, and to bring blessing. And we really believe that as we put these values into practice, that as a church, we will grow as apprentices of Jesus. We will grow in our discipleship. And the fascinating thing is that we haven't just plucked these out of thin air. These are all practices that Jesus himself practiced. And so we believe that as we, as apprentices of Jesus, as we follow him in these practices, we will become more like the people he wants us to be and more like him in turn. As I say, last week Steve kicked off the series and looked at what it means for us to be pioneering, to go to places boldly where maybe God hasn't taken us before. And it's been great to have some feedback this week, and Steve Hartnell sent me a really short video just explaining how he stepped out in faith and was pioneering. Here's what he said.
Good morning, it's Steve Hartnell here. Was really challenged last Sunday by Steve Rouse's talk to what can we do during lockdown. And we don't see that many people, but we do go for walks in the morning. And after a walk along the beach, we would come up Connaught Avenue. I said, "Lord, show me someone I can pray for." and the man was sat on a bench. His name was Richard, and he struggles with Parkinson's, apparently. He looked quite down, and so I sat and chatted with him, and then towards the end I said, do you mind, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah, that would be lovely, thank you. So he sat there and I prayed for him. Now, he's not a church goer, he doesn't go to church, not a Christian, but afterwards he said, thank you so much, nobody talks to me these days, and for you to stop and talk and pray with me has really lifted me. So rise to the challenge. You never know what's going to happen. God bless.
Thank you, Steve, for sending that in. I wonder how it is that God's going to nudge you to be pioneering, and perhaps even after this week to be a risk taker, because we are thinking about how we practice risk today. So here's a question for you as we start. Why does risk exist? Why do you think that this thing called risk exists in our world and in our lives? Well, here's an answer that I've come up with. Risk exists because we don't know what happens next. That's a really straightforward answer and kind of obvious, but it's true, isn't it? If we've learned anything over this past year, it's that we do not know what happens next. We haven't got a clue. We haven't got a dicky bird, have we, about what life will bring to us. Not the next week, the next month, the next year, but let's be honest, we don't know what the next minute is going to bring. Our lives are lived in uncertainty, starting now. We don't know what comes next. I love the way that the book of James puts it. James writes this, and now I have a word for you who brashly announce, today at the latest, tomorrow, we're off to such and such a city for the year. We're going to start a business and make a lot of money. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. You're nothing but a wisp of fog catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. That's the Message translation of that verse. But isn't that true? Isn't that true? I wonder how many of you had holidays booked over the last few months. I know we did. I wonder how many of you were going to do other things, maybe move house, start a business, do this, do that, start a course. I wonder how many of us said, today at the latest, tomorrow, we're off to such an or such a city or a country for a time being. Life is uncertain. And God, you know, he uses the uncertainty that life brings to enable us to take risks. And I believe that God uses those moments because when you and I take risks, incredible things can happen for him and we grow as well. You know, there's a sense that as Christians and as followers of Jesus, learning to take godly risks is how we grow our relationship with Father God. I remember over the years teaching our kids to ride bikes. I wonder if you remember doing that, if you've got kids, or whether you remember learning to ride a bike yourself. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? And I think everybody uses the same technique for teaching a child to ride a bike. You get them onto the bike, you put the helmet, the elbow pads, the knee pads, you kind of strap them in, and then you will hold maybe their shoulders, or you'll hold the back of the bike and you say, it's okay, you can start to push the pedals down. And if they've got stabilizers on, maybe they'll feel a bit more secure and they'll start to pedal up and down. And maybe you'll take one of the stabilizers off, maybe both of the stabilizers, and you'll hold them and they'll start to wobble. You say, I've got you, it's okay. And you'll encourage them to take the risk of learning to ride the bike. And you'll have both your hands on, and then maybe after a while, you'll take one hand off, and they'll say, what's going on? And you say, it's okay, I've still got you. I've got you. And they'll go up and down, maybe with you holding on. And then maybe you'll start to take that last hand off of the bike. And eventually, they will start to push the pedals, and soon enough, they will be cycling on their own. It's a huge risk, isn't it, teaching our kids to ride bikes. Suddenly they're free to go anywhere without us. They can cycle off into the distance. They can go across a road. They can go at a much faster speed than perhaps they have before. They can go downhill. It's a risk. But we do it, don't we? We allow them to do it. Because in that, they've learned something. They've grown as a person. They've learned a new skill. They've learned to trust you as a parent. Yeah, I can trust them. They've taught me to do this. They had hold of me until I was able to do it on my own. Trust builds between the child and the parent. And there's that wonderful sense, we've done it at the end. We've done it. We've learned to ride a bike. You know, being an apprentice of Jesus is much like this. As we step into situations of risk, things that maybe make us wobble a little bit, things that we wouldn't choose to do, we learn to trust Father God. Because one thing I know is that when we step into these risky situations, He's right there with us, with a hand on our shoulder, steadying us as we go. And as we learn to trust Him, we learn, we grow as a person, we learn new skills. We learn that, yeah, I can do that. And suddenly our life becomes bigger. We can cross a road. And as these things happen, there's an incredible sense saying, I've done it. I've done something I didn't think I could do. It was risky. It made me nervous. Maybe there's a bit of worry and concern there. But I have done that thing. And none of this is done without following Jesus. You know, as apprentices of Jesus, we want to do the things He did, say the things He said, go to the people and the places that He did. And if you read about Jesus' life, and I know many of you have, and if you study Him as a man, you will find out that He is a risk taker. Jesus took risks. And so if we're going to be His apprentices, we need to take risks too. We read, or we heard read to us by Jeff, one of the times that Jesus took a risk in Luke chapter 7. And let me remind you of what happened in that reading that Jeff gave us. Jesus has been invited to Simon the Pharisee's house. He's been invited for some food. And whilst he's there, suddenly this unnamed woman appears. All we know about her is that she's described as being a sinner. Without speaking, this lady starts to cry, she starts to weep, and her tears wet Jesus' feet. She wipes those tears, his feet, with her hair to dry them. Then she kisses Jesus' feet. And finally, she anoints Jesus' feet with perfume and oil. You know, it's an odd event, isn't it, in our culture, this idea of washing somebody's feet, of cleaning somebody's feet. It turns us off. But we need to understand that in Jesus' culture, this was a sign of respect and honour. In fact, it's something that Simon the Pharisee should have done for Jesus when he came to his house. You think about being in Jesus' day and walking up and down the dusty streets in maybe barefoot or even maybe in sandals. Your feet got dirty. If somebody came into your house, you washed their feet. It was a job of a servant. It was a way of honouring them and showing them that they were welcome and important. So this is all this lady's doing really for Jesus, and in quite a dramatic way. She's washing his feet with her tears and then anointing them with oil and this perfume that she used. But why was this a risk for Jesus, this event? It, you know, in some ways it seems of more of a risk for this woman, doesn't it? To be doing this, to come to this house uninvited, to come to a Pharisee's house, considering that she was known to be a sinner. Why was it such a risk for Jesus? Well, in understanding why it was a risk, we need to understand a little bit about Simon, this Pharisee who invited Jesus to his house. Simon was a Pharisee, a religious leader, and the Pharisees at this time, they were the guardians of the law, of God's law, these 613 Old Testament laws that had been passed down to God's people, to Israel. And the Pharisees were the ones who knew these laws inside out, back to front. And they were the ones who were to pass the law on, to teach the law, to help people to worship. But what's happened over many years and many generations in that, rather than enabling people to worship God through these laws, the Pharisees have actually become the people who disable people to worship God. They've actually made it very exclusive to worship God. They've kept such a tight hold of these laws, and they've had such a strict interpretation of them, that actually it's made it harder and harder for people to worship God. And for them it had become, actually worshipping God and being right with God had all become about keeping these laws and doing the right things. And the more of these 613 laws you kept, the more right with God you were, and the more God loved you and accepted you. And so anybody who was seen not to keep these laws was seen to be far away from God, was seen to be distant and a sinner. If we had sinned, if we hadn't kept the law, then we were then not good enough for God. And if you spent time with someone who was considered not to have kept the law as well, you were seen to be unclean and to be a sinner as well. So what happens here is that this woman approaches Jesus. She's a sinner. She's someone who hasn't kept the law. And so that she was someone to be kept away from. Don't let her come near you. Don't let her approach you. But Jesus, the rabbi, a religious leader as well, allows this woman not only to come close to him, but to honour him, to worship him, to be intimate and close to him. You can see then why this was a risk for Jesus, can't you? In having this moment with this woman, Jesus is risking his reputation. He's risking his ministry. He's risking being criticised by everybody there, especially Simon, who is his host, this Pharisee. In fact, we know that Jesus was criticised for this, because there's this wonderful moment that Luke accounts in chapter 7, where he says this: the Pharisee who had invited Jesus, so that's Simon, saw this. He said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him. He would know what kind of woman she is. She is a sinner. Jesus opened himself up to criticism in this moment. Isn't it interesting, though, what Luke accounts here? He says that Simon said to himself. This isn't something that Simon said out loud. He had an internal monologue going on here. Yet Jesus knew what was going on in Simon's heart, what he was thinking. It's an interesting thought, isn't it, that we can't keep stuff from Jesus. He knows our true selves. We can't hide that from Jesus. And Simon couldn't here. And the truth is, Simon says, if Jesus knew who this woman was, he wouldn't be near her. But you know what? The truth is, Jesus knew exactly who this lady was. He did know everything about her. He knew everything about Simon as well. Jesus knew exactly who was coming up to him. Yet he was prepared to take a risk to let her come close to him. He was prepared to take that risk because he wanted to show us something about who God was and who he is. You see, in that moment, as Jesus allows this woman who hadn't kept the law, this sinful woman, to approach him, Jesus is showing that his gospel, that his good news is for everyone. It's good news not just for the Pharisees who kept the law. It's good news for sinners, more importantly, as well. You see, Jesus was showing in this moment that he doesn't wait for us to keep the law. He doesn't wait for us to be perfect or to have it all together. He accepts us as we are. Jesus doesn't recoil from her touch. He doesn't demand that she's thrown out. He has all the time in the world for this woman. And he has all the time in the world for us too. That's the good news of the gospel. That's what Jesus is showing in this moment. That is why it was worth the risk for him. He was saying that his grace accepts us just the way we are. But more than that, he doesn't leave us the way we are either. He changes us from the inside out. He accepts us. Then he in turn washes us. Washes our feet. Cleans us up from the inside out. That's the good news of the gospel. And it's captured perfectly in this encounter with this woman. What a risk. But boy, did it pay off. Because what a great lesson it is for each one of us. So what do we learn from this? The fact that Jesus took this risk. There's two quick things as we finish. And the first one is this. Is that being an apprentice of Jesus is risky. Listen, Jesus took risks. And so if we're going to follow him, if we're going to be his apprentice, we need to take risks as well. This is one example here in Luke chapter 7 of Jesus taking risks. But his whole life was full of risk. Coming to earth as a man, as a baby, was a huge risk. We know it was because Herod tries to kill all the babies. He risks his life right at the start of his life. 40 days of temptation. The disciples he chose were a risk. Going to Zacchaeus' house was a risk. Spending time with the woman caught in adultery who was about to be stoned to death was a risk. The rows he had with the religious leaders, with the Pharisees all the time, that was a risk. Led to him once almost being thrown off a cliff and almost being killed. His trial and his death, his resurrection was a huge risk. Jesus took risks. But listen, it's not just Jesus, because you might think, well, that's okay for Jesus. He's the Son of God. But right through Scripture, all followers of Jesus, but followers of God right from the start, have always taken risks. Noah took a risk building the ark. 100 years it took Noah to build that ark. The risk every day of the humiliation and the mockery. What if it didn't rain? Sarah took a risk. A woman who couldn't give birth took a risk with Abraham to travel, to give everything up. To be the start of the nation of God's people. Moses took a risk going to Pharaoh with Aaron. Daniel took a risk in that lion's den, standing up for what he believed. Samuel took a risk as a prophet. Deborah, as a judge, took risks. Esther took a risk for such a time as this. Her uncle says to her, Esther, you've been put in this place. It's interesting, isn't it, for such a time as this. I wonder what we're here for at such a time as this at the moment. Rahab takes a risk. David takes a risk facing off against Goliath and then becoming the king. Jesus' disciples took risks in following him and going out and sharing the good news. They all ended up being martyred for their faith. Paul took risks. Peter took risks. Listen, being an apprentice of Jesus involves taking risks. It's so alien to us, though, in this day and age. You know, we spend so much time, so much money trying to eliminate risks from our lives. Buying different insurance policies, buying different gadgets, putting people around us to eliminate risks. But everything I see in Jesus, his encounter with this lady in Luke 7, but all throughout his life. And everything I see about men and women who look to follow him and be his apprentices in the Word shows me if we're going to follow him, we need to be prepared to take risks for him. And you know what the truth is? The longer I'm part of this church, and the more I meet you, and the more I talk to you and hear your stories, I realise if I'm going to be an apprentice of Jesus like some of you are, I'm going to need to take risks, because many of you are taking risks on your front lines, on the places where God takes you. We need to commit to this. We need to do this. And for me, this is where becoming a follower of Jesus becomes exciting. I've got to say, if it's all about safety, if it's all about just attending church or watching Sunday online once a week and coming and doing our bit, singing a few songs, saying a few prayers and then going home or tuning in the next week, then I might kick Christianity into touch because that's not very exciting for me. But if it is about taking risks, if it is going about to places that are difficult, to situations that are difficult, to see what God might do and to see how he might use me, then that becomes more exciting to me. Being an apprentice of Jesus is risky. And the last thing is this, is that risk starts with a short prayer. Risk starts with a prayer. You know, several of the people that I mentioned in the list earlier who have followed Jesus in Scripture and taken risks knew that if they were going to follow him fully, it would mean taking a risk. But they make themselves fully available to God with a short prayer. Now, when God called to Moses from that bush that was burning but wasn't burning up, when he calls out to Moses, Moses replied in Hebrew. He was a Jewish man, so he replies in Hebrew with this word, Hineni. God calls to Moses. Moses says, Hineni. You know, when God called out to Abraham and asked him to risk his son's life, his only son's life, Abraham replies to God, again in Hebrew, Hineni. When the boy Samuel was asleep in the temple at night, and Eli, the priest, was in the next room, Samuel hears this voice, thinks it's Eli first few times, doesn't he? Then he realizes it's God calling out to him, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replies, Hineni. This same word, Hineni. You know, if you were here with me in church today, I would get you all to say that word together. Should we try that even at home? Hineni. Hineni. What does it mean? It means this. Hineni means, here I am. Or it means, I'm available. Here I am, I'm available. So Moses said to God, as he saw that bush burning, here I am, I'm available. That's what Abraham said to God when he asked him to do that dreadful thing. He said, here I am, I'm available. That's what Samuel said. Here I am, God, I'm available. Each of them knew, man, if God's talking to me, this is going to be difficult. This is going to be risk involved here. But they were prepared to say, here I am, I'm available. Hundreds of years later, when God called out, who will go for me? Who will go for me? The prophet Isaiah puts up his hand and he says, Hineni, here I am, send me. Send me. And Isaiah knew he was going to go and give a message from God to God's people at that time who were in exile. It was going to be a risk. It was going to be pioneering. It would mean danger. But he said, Hineni, here I am, God. Send me. Send me. It's like reporting for duty, isn't it? Here I am. Send me. It's a prayer. It's a prayer. And it's us saying to God, there might be some risk involved. It might be scary. But I'm willing to go for you. God, here I am. And if we're going to be apprentices of Jesus, then it's going to be risky. And stepping out means it starts with the prayer. Here I am. Send me. I wonder, are you, as you sit there today watching this message, are you willing to take that step? Are you willing to say that prayer? Here I am, God. Send me. No, we heard from Steve Hartnell earlier. He was willing to do that as he was out on his walk. Are you willing to hold your hand up and say, here I am, God. Send me. I'm prepared to take a risk for you. You know, as you think about your frontline situations, those places where you live, where you work, where you play. And it's a bit more difficult to think about those places at the moment, isn't it? Because of the lockdown for the next month and our movements are so restricted. But even in those restrictions, we have front lines. Maybe it's just your home situation. Maybe it's the block of flats you live in. Maybe it's just your immediate neighbours. Maybe it's a support bubble that you're a part of. For some of us, we are still going in to work, even if it's online and we're meeting our colleagues. As you think about those places, are you willing for God to use you in risky ways? Are you willing to say, here I am, send me, and risk your reputation for God? To maybe risk criticism from those you're alongside? Are you willing to stand up for justice? Are you willing maybe to confront a situation that isn't right? Are you willing to speak up for maybe someone who can't, who is voiceless, or for something? Are you willing to share your faith with someone who asks you this week, you're part of a church, what does that mean to you? Are you willing to share the love of God with someone who's maybe considered an outcast, just as that lady was in Luke 7? Are you willing to stop and pray with someone? Are you willing to say, Hineni, here I am, send me? But as we do that, and as we pray that prayer, and as we step out in faith, we know that God goes with us, and therefore God's power is with us in those situations. Anything can happen. We know that God's love is with us in those situations. We know His compassion is with us. And as we show people that they're accepted, as we share the good news of the gospel, that God isn't against them, but He is for them, that He accepts them the way they are. I dare you this week. I dare you right now to hold your hand up and say, Hineni, here I am, God. I'm available to you. Send.